Hey y'all, what's up? It's been a while since I've done a podcast episode and I'm kind of really sick of saying that. I mean, I keep missing and I mostly don't really know what to talk about, honestly. I had initially started thinking that people will ask me questions, etc. But then as someone recently and quite rudely pointed out on Twitter that no one really cared, apart from the about 400 of you who subscribe to my YouTube channel, I don't know if someone else is listening or watching, and I am not really sure I want to do this either, but in a sense, because, you know, sometimes there's just no time. And the last 4 or 5 months, especially, I've been traveling so much. I don't know if you guys have been seeing, like, on my Instagram, etc. Today I wanted to particularly talk about this thing. I mean, I don't know if it happens abroad also, but it definitely seems to happen in India. That professional communication, you know, in the sense that when it's on email and when you're saying, you know, point 1, 2, 3, 4, da, 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 people tend to assume that it's rude for some reason. I've had some really strange interactions on email. It's not very common, but it has happened a couple of times where I send an email with the exact way I wanted to work on something, and we were discussing an assignment, and the client side, they wrote back to me with a one-liner saying, "I don't understand the tone of your email." I told them that I'm sorry, but there was no tone on the email. I was just kind of clarifying what I want to do and how I want to do it. So they said, "Oh, okay, whatever." But that was weird because it's hard to do tonality on email. It's literally just English language, and it's like a step by step 1, 2, 3, 4, and that's it. Like, there really is no tonality unless I decide to maybe include an emoticon, which, I mean, originally I thought it was extremely unprofessional to include emoticons on like a business email, right? Why would you do that? But I have realized that it helps. Especially in a country like India, if you're someone who has never considered using emoticons on your on your business email, professional email, maybe you should give it a shot. For some reason, if it's the same language that I use, but if I include a smiley face or two, it seems to be read differently as compared to an email without an emoticon. And I've observed that not just in the responses that I've received, but also when I have, you know, read an email online and it has a smiley face, and I tend to look at it a little differently. Of course, I've also realized that in India, it's always best to just pick up the phone and talk, even if it doesn't work out. And to be clear, I think it's easier. I find it very easy to communicate on email because it saves so much time, and you can literally write 1, 2, 3, 4. These are the things that can be done. These are things that can't be done. And that's it. I don't remember what I said on a phone call. I make and receive so many phone calls on a daily basis. So it's a good way to keep a record. I mean, if you do emails, but I have seen this quite a bit. And, recently someone also commented about my, the what the fuck Nana column that I do. And I, instead of doing that, it was a short email that I received from someone saying that, we shall do you know, barter, and we shall do this and you shall do this. And I basically took a screenshot, I removed their names and everything, and I posted that on Twitter and on Instagram, and I said, "No, we shall not, bye bye." My professional response to the email was that, "Hey, you know, thank you for reaching out to me. This looks like an interesting thing, which I've already expressed interest in, but I don't work on the basis of barter. I like getting paid for my work." And I mean, obviously, I didn't say it to them, and neither did I disclose their name online. And someone pointed out, "Oh, that was rude." And I was like, them writing to me expecting me to work for free was rude, or my response telling them that I don't work for free was rude? And they insisted that my response was rude. Again, I mean, I do think about these things. People say you shouldn't really consider what comments you get on the internet. Joe Rogan says it all the time. You shouldn't even read the comments. But unfortunately, on Instagram, it's really hard to do that. Once you have allowed someone to send you a private message, they can continue to send it unless you block them. And as a general rule, I don't block people. More because I wanted to train myself how to deal with the online trolling, because you know, if I get popular in the future and I get way more following, then how am I going to deal with it? I can't just keep going and blocking all the people who follow me, right? So it was meant as a way to teach myself to have a thicker skin and not respond to trolls and comments. So I have unblocked everyone. And I just don't engage. If it's a troll, then I stick to the rule of not engaging. And yes, I reserve judgment on what I or who I think is a troll. Some other people might not think that someone is a troll, for example, but I might think that they are, even if it's someone you know, you know. So, yeah, I don't block people, and but I don't respond to them either. But sometimes, you know, when you know someone and they think that it's their birthright to tell you what's right and what's wrong, then I try to engage with them in as logical fashion as I can, but that's always not always possible. As you can see, winters are here. I'm already like wearing a jacket and everything, and I'm having a hot cup of tea in the evening today. About this whole professionalism fight, I don't think is going to end anytime soon. I am, though, trying to look at it from a different perspective, because I recently listened to this audiobook by Jocko Willink. It's called Extreme Ownership. If you are an entrepreneur and you work solo, or even if you run a company, I think you should definitely check it out. They talk about the military perspective, the war in Iraq, and how they led their team there, etc. But they also talk about how the same principles can be applied to businesses, etc. And I tweeted to Jocko and I said that, you know, this is great, but I've been wondering how it would apply to someone like me who's like a solo entrepreneur. And his response was, well, you take ownership of the process from beginning till end. And the question in my head was, but what if the person in front of me is an idiot? And he said, well, he didn't say it, but there was someone else who responded and said that, well, if they're an idiot, then it is your responsibility to explain to them in a way that they will understand. Which, to be honest, sounded like quite a crazy plan or quite a crazy perspective. But I see the point. And it is easy to say, oh my God, people are so unprofessional. And it's easy to respond with an unprofessional email from my side also. But I have been trying really, really hard to try to explain better. And if I'm not able to convey the point, I look at it as a failure on my end instead of judging someone else's intelligence capability. Maybe I'm not being able to explain it as clearly as I would like to. But I do wonder, what is so hard to understand when I say things like, I don't work for free. I don't understand that. If I have a policy of not working for free, okay, fine, it might not be a universal rule. Maybe the person asking me has worked for free in the past. So I get it. It's a possibility in their head. But I'm telling you very clearly that I don't work for free, right? Or that I don't work without 100% advance. What's the confusion there? It's there, you know. Things like people writing to me on Twitter or on Instagram and DMs and saying, we want to work with you, etc. And whereas on my profile, it clearly says, if for any query, email me. It's like they've never even visited the profile, etc. So then is it my job to respond to them on those Instagram DMs or Twitter DMs and say that, hey, you know, email me? Or should I then just say, okay, hey, I'm available on this platform, right? Where do you draw the line? I mean, I take ownership for, you know, the kind of work that I do, the kind of communication that I try, or the kind of money that I make, for example. And I think I'm fully responsible for that. I'm not denying that. But I really don't want to engage with dumb people. And that's really hard because there are just so many of them. And I'm not saying, you know, sitting on a high horse and saying that, hey, you know, oh my God, I am so smart. Like, oh, wow. No, I'm pretty dumb too. I mean, I follow about 25 people on Twitter and they are way smarter than I will ever be. So I'm not saying that I'm smart, but I'm just, I guess, when I see people, you know, looking at basic instructions and it's like they didn't read it, they didn't hear it, they didn't give it any consideration, then I'm not sure, are they being dumb on purpose? Is it a short attention span that they're so busy doing things in life that they don't really have time to read emails from someone like me? I'm not sure what it is. And honestly, there are times that I'm just like, oh my God, fuck it, I should just move to the hills. But the plan to rule the world exists still. I know that's probably not going to happen, but hey, a girl can dream. And yeah, I mean, it's a daily struggle. I am not going to be traveling anywhere anytime soon now. I'm just happy to be home. The boy's back. And I've been traveling like mad since the last 4 or 5 months now. And yeah, I plan to stay home. I plan to do more podcasts, hopefully. I also plan to write a little more than I have been since my Ranikhet trip, which is when I actually wrote quite a lot, pen to paper. There are a couple of posts in that I still need to convert to digital. One of the things that I bought recently, I don't know if you guys can see. Oh, it's kind of turned off already. This is a Bluetooth shutter remote for the for an Android phone. So I'm currently shooting this on the Pixel 2 XL. Thank you, Google. And I have a selfie stick. It's also a tripod. And it can hold the phone horizontally, which is currently what it is. And it can also hold the phone vertically, which is great when I have to shoot my own selfies where I'm just, you know, standing and I need a full length one. So I can just quickly open up the thing. It fits in my purse, put it down somewhere, put it on vertical, click, 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 pose, done. Right. I have been looking for something like this for such a long time. I was not able to find it in India, obviously. I couldn't find it in Paris. I couldn't find it in San Francisco. I couldn't find it. Where was I after that? Show off. Hong Kong. Finally, I found it in Singapore. So I have been using it since then and I'm regretting that I didn't buy more of them. I should have bought like 3-4 and given a few to Akanksha, kept 1-2 for myself, backup, etc. And even my dad could have put it to use. I have definitely started taking more pictures of myself and, you know, if I have friends over or if family is meeting, then I just prop this up and, you know. So I think that helps. It also helps make a stable video like this. I don't have to... the Pixel 2 seems to have this sound, you know, noise cancellation kind of thing going also. There's a lot of noise in the background, for example, which it completely cuts out. So, I mean... Initially, it sounded very weird. Like if it's completely silent, if I don't say anything, then you'll hear these room, room kind of sounds. But eventually, I realized that it was trying to do the, you know, clearing out background noise. So I think that's great. I've shot some videos on this now and this rig is pretty cool. It's really cheap. I mean, I bought the tripod stand for like $1,500. And I'll post a picture of it on one of my... I've been planning to actually blog about it because it's so great. But I don't have the box anymore because obviously I threw that. But it's pretty handy. And if you guys know of any other tripods like this, then let me know. And I'll probably buy a few, etc. Or next time when I'm going to Singapore. And yeah, I guess that's it for now. A lot of you have been asking me about the Pixel 2, etc. I am planning to do a blog post, yes. I have also been thinking of doing a photography workshop where I talk about photography on a mobile phone. Now, my problem is that while the principles of photography stay the same, I can do something related to the Pixel 2. Now, not a lot of people have the Pixel 2 or are located in Delhi, Gurgaon, Noida, which is where I am. But maybe we could do something. So if you are interested in a workshop like this, and if you have the time and the bandwidth, do write to me and let me know what you think. If there's any particular format you'd like or something like that. I will obviously end up talking about, you know, how to shoot a selfie or how to take pictures of other people. But I will also talk about things like, you know, what I use for editing, for example. What are the softwares I use? How I use them? And then there will be live demos. And it'll be a pretty small class size. I don't want to do more than 30 people, like maximum. Because I also want to spend some time one-on-one, like just having a conversation. I'm sure I'll get to learn a lot. So let me know what you think. And hopefully in the next podcast, I will have something more solid to talk about. Or maybe it'll be just another talking head video where I just talk about what's up. Cool. Thanks for listening. Bye.